Hello, Brian.
Hey, Brian. It's Wayne Blackman of Wilderness North. How you doing?
Fine. How are you keeping?
Good. Have you got a few minutes for me?
I do. Yeah, what's up?
I'm really interested in your work with the Project Peregrine that I know you have been quite active on, and I know that about a year ago, a sizable piece of property along Superior was sort of preserved for the peregrine world. So I'm looking for an update from you.
Yeah, okay. So, just about a year ago, the Nature Conservancy of Canada announced, and they've been working on it for a number of years, to secure that piece of property down at Big Trout Bay. And it's a significant chunk of property between the Minnesota border and the city of Thunder Bay. And it has lots of really interesting habitats on it, and one of it being quite a few cliff sites. And with the cliff sites, it's optimum habitat for peregrine falcons. And we've identified three peregrine falcon nest sites within that property that the Nature Conservancy of Canada purchased.
Well, that should be exciting, I guess, because the goal was that you were clearing away for these beautiful beasts of wing to have a safe place to live.
Yeah, again, with species at risk and all along, it's usually a habitat loss that's caused any wildlife or animal or bird or insect to become a species at risk, a loss of habitat. With peregrine falcons, they're kind of unique because it was never a loss of habitat. It was a chemical, DDT, and its metabolites that caused the problem with eggshell thinning. So if you correct the problem, which was the DDT, and get rid of it, which was done back in the early 70s, and through an extensive breeding program and relocation and releasing or hacking of young birds back all across North America, this species, which was really the poster child for the species at risk efforts and things like that, has now been declassified, well, in Ontario here, as special concern. So it went from, initially extirpated, where it was no longer breeding in Ontario back from the late 60s through to the early 80s, and then it came back as a breeding population is back again, and again, as all across eastern North America and all of North America, this bird has come back, and it's been a real success story.
Well, that is exciting. Now, of course, we have visitors coming up from the States regularly and traveling that corridor between Duluth, Minnesota, and Thunder Bay. Are there any pieces of advice that you could give us about stopping along the way and maybe catching sight of these beautiful birds?
Well, probably coming up through Duluth is probably the best opportunities, just because they are nesting on all the cliff sites between Pigeon River at the border there and Duluth too. So there's quite a few nesting sites along there, and the highway traverses right through amongst those cliffs, and some of the state parks along there have cliff sites which are suitable and have had peregrines nesting in past years type of thing. So anywhere along there, and again, anywhere there is a cliff face that you can see, it'd be worth checking out. And even when you cross the border into Ontario up to Thunder Bay, and right around Thunder Bay, we have a number of big cliffs around Thunder Bay. So any suitable habitat these days is worth checking out. And again, you may stop and look and you may not see anything, but that doesn't mean there's nothing there, because right now, as of now, the birds are all back on eggs. And so one of the pair will be obviously sitting tight on the nest and the other one is keeping a low profile, just keeping an eye on things. So in May, you may not see anything, but once the chicks have fledged, which is usually about mid-July into August, there's a lot of activity around the cliff sites. And that is probably the best time to check out cliffs, because not only have you got both adults out hunting, checking, catching food for the chicks, the chicks are now also fledged and flying, and they're screaming for food. So, again, lots of activity at the cliff sites at that time, and that's probably the best window to see them if you're going to want to try to see them. So anytime after mid-July through till mid-August, early September.
All right. So do you have some in-the-field projects on your schedule for the upcoming summer?
Yeah, we've been locally here through the Thunder Bay Field Naturalist, Project Peregrine. We have been monitoring peregrines here from 1989 when we got involved with actually the releases or the hacking of peregrines at three sites right around Thunder Bay, one just south of Thunder Bay out at the Sleeping Giant Provincial Park, and one up at Ruby Lake just east of east of the town of Nipigon. So we were involved initially from the late 80s through to the mid-90s of getting these birds back. And then in 96, we started a banding program where using climbers from the Alpine Club of Canada, Thunder Bay Chapter, and Lakehead University School of Outdoor Recreation, Parks, and Tourism, we go in and we actually band chicks at the nest. So we've been banding chicks. We started in 96, so we're starting our 23rd year now. And as of the end of last year, we had banded 600 chicks at cliff nest sites.
Well, and then, of course, somewhere along the way, those chicks are growing and maturing, and they're showing up, and those bands are giving you some critical information. What kinds of things do you learn from the banding project?
The banding project, well, a number of things you get. You can find out, one, migration work, because the birds that nest around Thunder Lake Superior, for instance, they all leave. Now, there are some birds now in the city of Duluth, for instance, who are staying year-round. But in general, all the cliff nesting birds around Lake Superior, they all head south. And they're heading for southern United States, Central America, and South America. So again, by having a band on these birds, if it's observed someplace else or if it's found dead for some whatever reason, unfortunately, that does happen too, someone can read the band and report the band number. So then we can find out migration routes, where these birds are wintering. We can also then, by having keying out individual birds, you can look at longevity of birds. We've got birds that we banded back in the mid-90s. We're still seeing some that one we saw just the last year that was 14 years ago that we banded. So it's always kind of a treat to see one of your old birds that you sort of had in your hand a number of years back is now breeding. And that's a really good thing. But we're also seeing lots of birds that are not banded, which is also a good sign that there are lots of chicks being produced out there over the years, and they're now also coming back to breed.
Well, that is good news. It's great to have protected habitat, and it's great now to have less danger for these birds, which means less danger for all other living creatures, doesn't it?
Exactly. And again, protecting habitat is probably the best, not only for an individual species like the peregrine falcon, which is great, but it also protects for numerous species that live within that habitat. And I think there's like 21 kilometers of shoreline along Lake Superior here that the Nature Conservancy of Canada purchased down there. And that's a lot of real estate that many species of wildlife can utilize, and with very few threats other than their normal threats that they have to live through, but from man-made issues of loss of habitat, of clear-cutting or housing developments or cottage developments and things like that going in to disrupt that natural setting, it's nice to have those islands out there that we know are going to be preserved for many years.
Well, that's great. I appreciate the time you shared with me this morning. That's an excellent update. Good to catch up with you, Brian.
Yeah, it's been a long time, Wayne. It's good catching up with you, too. All the best.